Hi, my name's Jen. I'll be doing the scripture reading tonight. This can be found in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 35 to 38, found on page 964 in your pew Bibles. Okay. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field."
Well, the Super Bowl is here. I know it's a hard thing to compete with the Super Bowl, but you are here, and bless you for it. You know, as I think about all the parties and the amount of pizza and chili, chips and chicken wings that are going to be consumed this evening, and the indigestion that will follow tomorrow, you know, the Super Bowl can be aptly described as 22 sweaty men on a field in desperate need of rest, who are being watched by millions of people on their couches in desperate need of exercise. And it is the case where the few entertain the many. But this, in fact, is a principle of life. It is always the case where the few are for the many. Perhaps you've heard me use this quotation of John Wesley that for me has been part of what is driving this Lenten Discipleship Institute. It's going to start next week. At the beginning of the Great Awakening, a spiritual renewal in the church that produced profound social reform in the British Empire in the 1700s, Wesley said, "Give me 100 men who love only God with all their hearts and hate only sin with all their heart, and we will shake the gates of hell and bring in the kingdom of God in one generation." Perhaps that seems a bit of preaching hyperbole, but when you think about the impact that Christians had at that generation, maybe not so. In addition to Wesley, there was George Whitefield, who preached with such vivacity of speech, such power of voice, that he was, in fact, the greatest celebrity of his day. Crowds of 20 to 30,000 would gather to hear him speak. And when he came over the pond from England to preach in Philadelphia, even the humanist Ben Franklin reflected on that singular event of hearing Whitefield preach. And he wrote in his autobiography, "Wonderful change soon made in the manners of our inhabitants of Philadelphia. From being thoughtless or indifferent about religion, it seemed as if all the world were growing religious, so that one could not walk through the town in an evening without hearing psalms sung in different families of every street." And then you had John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, who with William Wilberforce sought the abolition of slavery in the British Empire. And it didn't stop with that. Child labor laws, the women's movement, even care for animals, all part of tremendous reform motivated by Christians, caught on fire by the Spirit. And then there are all the faithful disciples whom history does not remember, but whose names are certainly etched in God's book of life. This is what is at the heart of that Lenten Discipleship Institute that we've been talking about. And whether or not you can get involved, and I still encourage you to get involved, you can sign up right at the front of the sanctuary at the conclusion of this service. And if you don't, if you haven't been around the last several weeks, you don't know what I'm talking about, come up front and we can talk more about that. Starts next week, and in many ways, this is my pre-game pep talk. It's the pep talk in the locker room for why we are doing what we're doing. Not just with this Discipleship Institute, but with being followers of Jesus. Jesus commands us to get in the game. by implementing a plan, by inviting us to a perspective, by imploring us to pray. And that's exactly what I want to do right now. Join with me in prayer. Almighty God, there are times where we don't know what to pray. And so we tag on, if it be your will. But with this, when we ask that you, the Lord of the harvest, would raise up workers, would raise up disciples, we don't have to ask, if it be your will. We know it is your will. And so we pray that those with whom we share a pew this evening would be such laborers, would be those faithful few etched in the book of life, who would serve you passionately, who would see as Jesus sees, who would pray as Jesus prays. And we pray that you would do that work in our own lives. Raise us up as disciples. Take us just that next step, whatever it may be, in this journey of following after you, Jesus. We pray this in the name of Jesus, that the name of Jesus would be exalted in our lives and in all the nations. Amen.